Clustered Conversations. Clustered Conversations. By Weka.
Hey there, and welcome back to Clustered Conversations. I'm Bob.
And I'm Josh.
And this week we're going to be joined by Dave Galinsky, who's within our customer success team. I mean, Josh, you know, you and I think we can make customers successful as best as we can, but there's stuff that we don't do and I can't do.
This is true. This is true. I do enjoy making customers successful in kind of setting them up for success and then allowing the customer success org to actually make them successful, which makes me look good, which I'm happy with.
So basically, Josh and I make a lot of promises and we ask Dave to deliver those promises for us.
True facts.
There we go. So, hey, Dave, how's it going?
Hey, guys. Nice to see you.
So, Dave or David, which do you prefer?
You know, either way is fine. Usually people call me David when they're angry.
All right, Mr. Galinsky.
David, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like some of the other folks on here, David and I have a weird past. We've kind of worked together a long, long, long time ago, you know, for a short period of time.
I had hair back then.
Yes. And I had less hair back then, actually.
My hair went to you.
Maybe. I got the beard going right now. But we worked together at Veritas way back in the day on a very weird team called the RTAMs, the Regional Technical Account Managers. And we now have one of our old cohorts here now.
We sure do.
Yeah. Rick Perlecki is a new employee. But we used to do troubleshooting back then for customers on the hard days at Veritas. So.
Yeah. Yes, we did. And as a matter of fact, that is where I really got my start in what is now called customer success. Back then, I thought that my little stint in customer support at Veritas was going to be a temporary thing. I was going to, you know, get away from being a storage admin, network admin, sysadmin for a little bit and, you know, do this thing, make a lot of money, and then jump right back out. That turned out... Right. That was 25 years ago, and I'm still doing this, which must mean that I love it. And what happened was, I got the bug. I started watching customers do what they need to do to you know, solve their business problems, to run complex networks, to run the most complicated back then storage database environments in the world, and it was exciting. It was fabulous. And every day I got to see a new problem, solve the problem, move on, make customers happy, and hear the joy. And that's what I've been doing ever since.
Well, that sounds like fun. I mean, I love being on that team. That one was a very stressful time though, back then, the late 90s.
Oh yeah.
And I moved over to being a systems engineer, more of an architect than doing support, but I do still love rolling up my sleeves, jumping in and solving problems with your team. So it's been fun working with you again.
Yeah,
I do kind of miss the days of just swapping out hard drives.
Oh, man.
Simpler times.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still remember one of my first jobs was upgrading a customer from 1 gigabyte drives to 2 gigabyte drives in their entire array. So that was awesome. Yeah, that's how old I is.
Yeah. Well, you're among friends, Bob.
All right, cool. So go ahead, Josh.
No, I was just... I was just thinking back to my time in sort of customer success, I guess you would call it, back when I was a field engineer at EMC doing installs and deinstalls and upgrades and trying not to pull out the drive that didn't have the red LED next to it, despite the 17-page procedure that we had to print out and read through and validate and swear that we read before we actually went through and swapped out that single hard drive that was actually in the system. And of course, we never skip that step. No. Always, always a new procedure every time. That's definitely not a waste of anyone's time.
It's always fun when someone pulls out the wrong drive. That always makes for a very interesting afternoon.
You know,
as long as you put it right back,
you can do that exactly once on the old systems.
Ah, the good old days. All right. Yeah. So, any cool stories, David? Anything that pops to mind that's interesting that we've done here at WEC? I mean, you've been here in almost a year now. So it's you've been indoctrinated.
So actually some very interesting stuff. And it was surprisingly interesting to me. I wasn't looking for Weka when I joined. I've been here for a year and a half. I came from pure storage where I ran support for the Americas. I was looking for the next interesting storage company, you know, to like something that I could get excited about, something that was not so far removed from what the customers are doing every day, what the engineers are doing every day. When I was at, you know, Pure is a pretty big place. I was, you know, three levels or four levels distant from actual technical problems. I wanted to get back into, you know, more of a hands-on role, developing processes and putting together teams and stuff like that. And WEKA seemed to be an interesting place. I had no idea. Like, I had no idea how revolutionary WEKA was until, I, you know, like a couple of months after I got here. And I really got to evaluate the product. I got my hands on it. And then I saw what customers are doing with this thing, right? Like, we essentially, WEKA is the underlying storage platform, which is the underlying like data platform, the data mover for some of the largest supercomputers in the world, just, you know, based on raw number of cores. Yep. It is remarkable. Yep. And so, you know, one of the first things that I got exposed to was what I believe is the number five largest installation like that in the world. And we can't talk about the name, but it's a company that everybody would recognize as groundbreaking technologically, game-changing industry-wide, paradigm-shifting. And their competitive advantage is that they can process data faster with WEKA than with anything else, faster than all of their competitors who are trying to do the same thing and release products to market faster. They can't beat it, which makes WEKA like... It's a secret weapon, you know. So in addition to doing this crazy thing that everybody who has been doing storage for as long as we have thought that somebody eventually ought to do, but no one had the guts, right? Like WEKA did it. Oh yeah, let's make a new POSIX file system, right? And it's going to be really great. It's going to be faster than everybody else, and everybody's going to adopt it, right? Like, we all knew that this had to happen because we've all been solving the same stupid SCSI error problems for 35 years, right? Like, that had to end. So WEKA actually did it. So in addition to that coolness, we now have, like, these implementations where customers that are doing real leading edge stuff that no one's ever done before recognize WEKA as the way to accomplish goals. That's super exciting. So yes.
Yeah. And you know, our customers, I think, all have this love hate relationship with us. They love what they do with us, and their hate mm-hmm. is the right kind of hate, which is they want to replace us only in that they want to find something better and makes us compete constantly at those customers and become better. And so it's been fun to watch. You know, we constantly have to compete with ourselves, become better, because otherwise somebody else is going to come along and do it. And it's been fun to watch us do.
Oh, my gosh. You know, so just this morning, I was in a conversation with our R&D department. And we were talking about, like, the number of code changes and the number of product improvements that happened during a three-month period of time because our customers challenge us to, like, go faster, be more resilient, be more parallel, all of these sort of things, avoiding, you know, a contention on super complicated networks. That number of product changes was greater than I have ever seen anywhere else. I mean, like, even in a major release, right? Like, in a major release, you got a bunch of core features. Those core features have sub features, and you got to put together all this stuff, right? And it's a huge... It's a huge undertaking that involves, you know, numerous check-ins. We do this so fast and in such a reactive way, right? Like, in direct conversation with our customers about satisfying their needs and meeting their business goals, we're developing the product and making it better every day.
Yeah. And it's kind of fun to watch this product that's so... It seems to be so complex, right? It has so many facets to it and has to take all these parts and these drives and these networks and CPUs and everything else in Toto and present it out as a single file system and be able to service data in order that gets it. But to manage it is so simple, right? That's the part that blows me away, how easy it is to manage our software. Josh, you know, you built that 500 node cluster in like what?
Well, 373. I had 10 others that I didn't use.
So if you theoretically were counting the units of 500 and rounding up, you'd be at 500. It's great.
Well, there we go. Yeah. Now, had it been 500, that would have been even,
To get to 2 terabytes a second, 500 sounds a little easier to get to than with 373. So.
Didn't even need 500.
I know.
Yeah. There we go.
But you built that, you know, with a pretty simply. And you, in fact, I watched you and I both tore it down and rebuilt it like 5 times in an hour to get.
Oh, yeah. No, it was. Tests. Yeah. As soon as I got that, the script that I use to actually deploy it, which the script is effectively just a set of commands. So you could just run these commands by hand, and it's you know, really not terribly challenging and difficult, but you know, you put a little bit of, you know, forethought into how exactly you're going to architect the system and how many cores you're going to use, which NIC you're going to be using, which is effectively just finding the name of the NIC on the system. And you feed all of that into a series of commands in a bash script and hit go. Yep. And then the challenge is, oh gosh, I really want to rebuild this thing. And that's just 2 or 3 more commands to destroy the cluster first and then let it rebuild itself. Yep. It's, you know, within minutes, you're going from, you know, iteration to iteration on cluster to cluster, if you really want to. And the destruction portion of it is almost as simple. Actually, it's you could run it as a single one-liner.
And Josh and I kind of like, you know, we're annoying in the way that we look at our clusters. We think they should be
very
so much-
annoying.
Very so much faster than what they, you know, for us, you get to like, you know, 12 gigabytes a second of server. You're like, oh, I wish I could just a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Or we see 200 microsecond latency. We're like, oh, God, why is it so slow? God,
why is it so high?
Yeah. You know, so maybe one of the best examples of ease of installation and ease of management would be my ability to install this thing in 15 minutes, right? Like I've been removed from the technical activities as much as I like to fool myself into thinking that I'm still technical. I'm not really. I was able to put this thing together and tear it down and redo it over and over and over again in, you know, with very little effort. I think the first time I did it, Bob, you and I had a Slack conversation that was approximately 3 lines long, you know? So... Yep. How do you set up multiple containers? Oh, you just do it like this. Okay, boom, done. You know, like, really? Like, is that really my file system mounted? You know, yep, sure is.
I know. Well, yep. All right, now we got a bunch of scripts that can create multiple containers and run Weka on a single server for testing. And
yeah,
it took me about, you know, an hour of troubleshooting to figure it out. And now other guys are now using it for testing with other partners so we can get quick and simple, you know, hey, we're going to qualify this hardware, qualify this system and move on.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
It's nice. So it's very flexible software. It's amazing.
You know, I think that there's something that is worth saying here about the reason that Weka is easy to administer, because that's fundamental. It's a characteristic that emerges because of the completely different way that Weka handles the IO chain, right? Like there are no kernel drivers in the middle. We're in direct control of the NVMEs, right? There are no more SCSI devices. There are no more CDBs. There's no more waiting for IOs to go through the terminal and then get returned in error before you do something differently. Like Weka is handling all of that, directly.
One more thing we've noticed is that it's not like other software. If it's running on one server, they're not talking to each other on that one server and then have to decide to go out. Everything's using the network. It's all going out, coming back in. That way, everything is equal, whether you're running on the same physical hardware, a virtual machine, or 10 or 100 servers. Every process is equal. And that's what kind of, it's weirdly socialist in the way it runs.
You know, all of the systems are now cattle, appropriately cattle, instead of having a, you know, a preferred system that's the kind of the master under the hood or something like that, that's actually doing you know, significantly more work than the other systems are in the cluster.
Hang on. I'm getting a call from the Anti-Bovine Defamation League. they object to our using cattle in a derogatory way.
Lemmings, is that better?
I didn't know Chick-fil-A was calling us. Were they talking about eating more chicken?
Oh, I thought that was fillet.
Chick-fil-A. I love Chick-fil-A.
So, when I got, I think when I showed up here, it was basically support was Dave Hansen and like 2 other people. And then PS was not non-existent. There was no professional services, just all the SCs. We basically did everything at that point. And in the last year, this team has really changed. I mean, what you guys have built in a year is, I don't think I've seen companies do it in 2 or 3. So can you give us an idea of what your structure looks like now?
Yeah, you bet. So when I started a year and a half ago, the team, anybody looking from the outside would have said, this is a really senior backline technical support team, right? We had five technical support engineers and a team lead, which was David Hansen at that time. What became quickly apparent is that with our plans for growth and increasing the number of accounts and trying to penetrate the new markets, the enterprise customers that we really wanted to land over the next year, we had to be able to develop capabilities that they expect, right? Like they deal with other storage vendors. They have expectations based on those relationships, some of which have been, you know, 25 years long, for certain services, right? They expect to get dedicated or designated resources. They expect to get a statement of work with a professional services contract for things like integrating with their monitoring systems or writing Ansible script for mass deployments, all of that sort of stuff. So we had to quickly spin up an organizational structure that was capable of delivering those services that customers expect to pay for. So that's what we've done. We started with mission critical services, which other people would recognize as business critical services. Those are the premium offerings for which you get a name, you know, like you get a body with a cell phone. that is your single throat to choke, right? Somebody who knows your environment really well, who has a relationship with you, who is going to understand what you're trying to achieve, the problems you're trying to solve, you know, knows your manager, all of that kind of stuff. From mission critical services, we then brought over professional services, which was previously under the sales engineering team, which is a perfectly reasonable way to do it. But there are some big advantages to moving that team under customer success, because under customer success, you get to leverage what you learn in the field as you solve problems for customers and incorporate that learning into the development of efficiency tools for customers and for internal troubleshooting use. And then use those tools in furtherance of helping customers do the things that they want to do, you know, like, so when we talk about things like health checks or pre-install checks or pre-upgrade checks, those things are all things that are part of a continuous improvement cycle between the customer success engineers doing the upgrades and solving problems, the professional services team developing tools, and then the professional services team helping customers to deploy systems to integrate with their, you know, with their OpenView or SolarWinds or, you know, whatever they're using to monitor the rest of their stuff. So that's mission critical services plus PS. Then we recognized that because we were going to grow so fast, hiring a lot of people turns out to be really hard, right? Like, it's easy to get them to sign on the line, especially when you're like an exciting startup like Weka, but then what, right? Like, how do you get, if you're going to double the size of your company, how do you get the next 100 people all understanding what it is to work at Weka and how the tools work and how we communicate with customers and where our targets are and, you know, what we ought to be pushing and where our strengths are, all of that sort of stuff. For that, you have got to have internal enablement. And that means Weka University, right? So we established enablement, education, training, and knowledge to build out a new learning management system, leveraging all the existing content that we had that had been developed, you know, really well over the last few years, so that field teams and customers and partners could learn from watching videos. All of that is now in a new learning management system, you know, with learning paths, with quizzes, and coming very soon, badging and certification. So
badges for badges and
badges.
We don't need those thinking badges.
No one knows what would happen if no one said that. The sun might not come up. Anyway, so, yep. So there's that, and then we have a category of customer that everybody in this industry is familiar with that we can't talk about and can only be serviced by certain people living in certain places. That's Weka has such potential in that space because of the speed, because of the scale out, right? Like that's a huge market for us. So we needed to develop capabilities right away so that we could, you know, actually get on site and do stuff there. So we have that. We have that as well. And then finally, it turns out.
It keeps going.
Yeah. It turns out that, you know, while we were all doing our things in technical service or technical support or customer support, there was this actual thing called customer success. Like customer success is a real thing with a definition and a workflow and deliberate goals to achieve. So after building out all the legs, right, like all of the underlying foundation that this organization needed to be able to deliver the services that customers expect, we can finally establish a real customer success motion. And for that, we have customer success management. And for those of you who don't know, customer success, the actual customer success, is designed to deliver predictable outcomes and predictable value for customers based on what they expected to get when they bought whatever product it is, and to make renewals a no-brainer. Right? It's a continuous conversation that happens with customers to make sure that they're getting what they need and that they're going to keep on getting what they need and that they're going to keep on buying. So basically, it is relationship management with the intent to increasingly add value.
And those are our now technical account managers, right?
Those are customer success managers.
Different.
It is different. Yes. Ooh. Technical account managers are the technical liaisons between Weka and customer, the designated or dedicated people, the single throat to choke, the storage admin at blah blah company has got this, you know, as number one speed dial on their phone. That's technical account manager. Customer success manager has a much larger number of accounts with whom they have a much less technical conversation that's oriented around. So when we first talked to you before you bought Weka, you were trying to solve these problems and you wanted to do these things. Now that you've bought Weka and it's installed and you're running, how are we doing on these things, right? Like, are you able to do X, Y, Z? If not, oh my gosh, let's engage whoever I need to engage so that you really are getting the value that you expected to get.
And that's fantastic and that, follow-up.
Oh man, that's really, it's kind of surprising that it took as long as it did for somebody to recognize that you could wrap a workflow around that, like a deliberate workflow with metrics and KPIs and predictable outcomes. But it did, and now it exists, and now Weka has it too.
Nice. That's awesome. I it's been fantastic watching the team grow. And then I know there's a little other offshoot of your team with the Vince and his group that's building tools for people. I know we talked a little bit about that.
Yep.
They've built some amazing pieces of software that we're using in the field. And, how is that resonating with customers? Are they enjoying it? Is that something that we want to continue growing?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. So there are two things happening there. One is that customers really love being able to come to a company like ours for whom or from whom they're getting core services, like core data services, and then ask for integration of those core services with other ancillary stuff, right? Like almost all big enterprises, like the banks, the governments, telcos, things like that, right? They have thousands or tens of thousands of devices in heterogeneous environments with multiple vendors, all being managed by as a relatively inexpensive workforce who needs to be able to look at a message and take action based on the message, right? And the more that you can aggregate that information and standardize on the vocabulary that is used to describe a problem and present a solution, the more efficiently these companies can operate. So coming to Weka and saying, listen, I need to take the information that comes from your systems and aggregate that with the information from other systems so that it can be presented to my maintenance team in a way that allows them to solve problems easily. They absolutely love it. And there's a second half of this is that what we learn by developing these tools becomes the next iteration or the next after the next iteration of Weka core product features, right? So as we get, you know, more distribution or monitoring or integration tools developed, we evaluate those tools for the their applicability in certain markets or by certain customers, and then determine how to prioritize the inclusion of those tools with the Weka core product. So it all becomes a continuous improvement cycle with direct feedback from customers as they use the product. And nothing beats that, right? Like development in a vacuum is valueless development. So like I talked about at the very beginning, or almost at the very beginning, Weka is extremely customer reactive. Like we were in a continuous dialogue with our customers about what they're trying to do and how we can improve the product all the time to deliver that.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the installation tools that we've been working with in the field, and that stuff that's delivered for us internally been really easy. But I can imagine the integration parts, because I know Vince built that Grafana interface in a couple of weeks, and then he's taken that learning from the stats and everything else to be able to fill into the SNMP or other kind of tools for people to be able to monitor simply from a central location. So it's kind of nice to see that our team has really built and gelled and kind of started becoming more operationalized, right? Because we've been kind of a little niche-y in the beginning, and we've become a lot more central to people's IT organizations. And it's nice to see we've evolved as that's happened.
Yeah. It's natural to be niche-y, and it's probably healthy to be niche-y in that early development, because you need an environment in which you can control the scope creep of feature development in order to maximize, you know, like especially in storage, maximize resilience, maximize redundancy, right? Like those things, the product has to be bulletproof, right? You can never, ever, ever lose data. So operating in the niche environment where you're focusing on that continuous improvement in reliability and resiliency allows you to then have a super solid foundation on which you can start adding the features that all customers want eventually, right? Like snapshot management, like object tiering, like, you know, all of the other stuff that is now coming, like
the et cetera,
like
et cetera.
Well, you said resiliency, and one of the things I a couple weeks ago, we had that switch go down at a customer, right? Mm-hmm. And that took out an entire 28 hosts in the cluster. It's a fairly sizable cluster. It's about 90 servers. So, and it took out 28 of them. And so the cluster did what it's supposed to do. It stopped. And once we get that switch back up and running and those hosts up and running, the cluster just it saw it go from 0 to 300 gigabytes a second in a couple of seconds. Because all the clients were just waiting. It was unbelievable.
Waiting to roll.
So it's the guys did a fantastic job with resiliency. I've seen it time and time again, you know, when it's mostly... Well, you know, Josh and I's mantra is it's always a network, or other hardware problems that usually end up taking us down for a while. But it's fascinating to see how well we've done in software to keep this stuff going.
Yep. Well, you know, the network is the computer.
That's what they said.
So it's got to be the network.
Way back in the day. Back when we had one, is it 100 megabit?
Man, that was fancy.
I know. All right.
Oh, that's fast Ethernet. What are you talking about? Just go back to regular Ethernet. Oh, this is 100 meg. No, 10.
Yeah.
10.
Thin net. There we go. Thin net.
Okay. So I was half running duplex. Thick net with vampire taps.
Ooh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. Back in the day.
All right. Well, I mean, is there anything else you'd like to tell us, Dave? I mean, you know, what's your favorite, you know, vacation spot? You know, what do you like to do?
Favorite beverage.
Oh my gosh, I'm drawing a blank.
so you're actually out in Arizona, and your team spans the globe. I mean, I know we got guys in Israel, UK, Taiwan, Mm-hmm. And we're bringing people on online in more and more time zones. It feels like every day. And, you know, I was a big part, a big involved with that, the rollout of our learning center. So it was kind of nice to see that process go along from what we had before, which was just a, here's a folder with a bunch of videos, go watch them. To somebody putting them into an order, to now actually having actual tracks that people can go down and learn things and not have to overlap a bunch of things like we did in the beginning. Josh and I probably watched the same 14 videos like 40 times. Oh man.
Probably.
Yeah. So, you are right on that. Like the organization of content is absolutely critical to getting people the information they need to do whatever it is that they're supposed to do. And the inefficiency that comes from not having organized content just compounds as the content builds and as the years go on and as stuff ages and new features come along, old features are obsolete, old versions are obsolete, right? Like we have all been places that did not have a content management strategy.
Right.
And it was, you know, not only impossible to find what you were looking for. And so you had to go ask, you know, people to help you all the time, which is, you know, generally a good thing, but you shouldn't have to do that for the things that are just like basic that everybody has already solved five times. So, well,
and if you don't want to solve those problems, Weka can store how many trillion files, Josh?
6.4 trillion.
6.4 trillion.
6.4 trillion.
In a single file system. You need more. Create a second file system.
There you go. Yeah. So if you don't want to delete anything, give us a call.
Yeah.
But cool. Cool. Anything else you want to discuss, Dave, before you let you go, get you back to getting yelled at by somebody or, you know, talking to somebody?
I was going to talk about the content management strategy for another 38 minutes.
I'm sure you could.
Yeah.
That for a time later.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, guys.
We could do another late night podcast.
That's a great one.
Really,
with our favorite
really help
beverage.
People be restful.
It'd be full ASMR content management. We'll have rustling papers in the background.
Squeaky, 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 squeaky.
Oh, gosh. The nails on the chalkboard have started.
Well, thank you, Dave. I appreciate your time. Absolutely. It's been fantastic. Thanks for helping support us.
Yep. For Clustered Conversations, I'm Josh.
And I'm Bob. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Bye.